want you to do this. This is the letter B for Babel when I get off on a riff that really isn't going anywhere. And if I'm really bad...
I do not think you do that. I always think I do that.
Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Welcome to the 8th episode in our Holiday Break series. If you've missed any, you can find them all at gritandgrace.info. That's grit, the letter N, grace, all one word, .info. Today, my delightful co-host Amy Carroll and I are discussing why so many of us struggle with our own emotions during the holiday season and how to respond to our own tender hearts with compassion without letting our feelings take control. All right, so for this episode, we're talking about our own emotions going into the Christmas season now that it's December. And the bad rule specifically is that peace and joy are the only acceptable emotions for you to feel. How does that rule work out for you, Amy?
Not so well, because I have actually believed this for so long. I didn't recognize it as a bad rule. I thought it was the rule. Here's an example. During my pregnancies, I was very sick, both of them.
Oh, dear.
It was beyond. People would always say to me, hey, honey, put some crackers by your bed when you get up. Well, I tried that day one. So I really wanted to slap people who said that to me. Month two of throwing my guts up every day. But what happened during that time, this pattern emerged in my life where I really withdrew from God during both my pregnancies. What I've realized about that in retrospect is that I thought I needed to be cheerful for God.
Oh,
so I'd come to God cheerful. And when I couldn't be cheerful because I was so sick, I didn't go to God.
Okay. You're getting me all choked up here. Keep going.
Well, and I just recognized this pattern in myself.
Yeah.
And it's a long story of how I started to realize that. But what I realized is that I've done this particularly during Christmas. So during the time when we should feel closest to God, I'm withdrawing from God. During the time I'm supposed to be feeling closest to other people, I'm kind of withdrawing from them too, because inevitably, when there are a lot of people around, there are going to be a lot of frustrations. God's been redoing my insides for a long, long time. Well, since the beginning, really. But this whole idea of perfection, particularly in the last decade. But even 2 years ago, my family, my whole extended family, my brother, he has 6 children, my mom and dad, my whole family, and we were together on a trip for Christmas, just like we're doing for this Christmas. It was wonderful. We had a great time. But listen, you get that many people in the mix, as you say in the South, that's a lot of fleas on one dog. And
I want to become a Southerner so bad.
And it's, you know what fleas do, right?
Oh, yeah.
They bite you, they make you itch. It's the same thing with a whole gaggle of people. And I had, instead of taking frustrations day by day, moment by moment to the Lord, I stuffed them.
Mm-hmm.
So the last day, as we're packing up, my mother, who is my biggest cheerleader, one of my best friends in the whole world, she said something to me, and I just snapped her head off. And I even, as I was getting ready for this recording, thought about that, and it brought tears to my eyes, because I thought, if I had dealt with the frustrations one by one and taken them to God and surrendered them instead, it would have been different.
Yeah. Wow. For me, I grew up with the sense that emotions were the enemy, and that reason was what made us truly human and truly Christian. And so logic and emotions were always pitted against each other. And so the first time I saw the Disney movie Frozen, I like just bawled the whole way through. And that song, Conceal, Don't Feel, Don't Let Your Emotions Show, Don't Let Others Know How You're Feeling, really totally resonated with me. And what I've come to realize, in part thanks to the movie Inside Out, I don't know what it says about me that I learned the most from Pixar and Disney movies. We just won't even analyze that at all. But emotions aren't the problem. It's my reactions to my emotions that are the problem. Feeling anger or feeling jealousy or feeling any of them is not an issue. And I do get a little frustrated because I see out on social media all sorts of advice to wrangle your emotions to the ground. It's like, no. As soon as it's turned into a reaction, it's not the emotion anymore. It's the reaction. It's the habit. It's that instinct, the knee-jerk response that we have that's the issue. And the emotion isn't actually the issue. The emotion is just the expression of the beliefs and the attitudes and what we call the bad rules that are the instigator of those emotions. If you want to change the emotion, you have to go all the way back to the beliefs and the attitudes and break the bad rules.
Oh.
Break the bad rule, and it'll have a trickle-down effect, and the emotions will change. But if all we do is squash the emotions down, you know, Brené Brown has told us from her research, we can't selectively repress emotions.
Oh.
And so if we're going to squash down the negative, we're also squashing down, as I'm sure you experienced, as you withdrew, it meant you were also withdrawing from love and joy and peace and happiness and all the positive emotions. We can't just pick and choose. There's a book called The Listening Life by Adam McHugh, and he has a quote I just love. He says, "We ought to listen to our emotions before we start preaching to them. Let's not tell them what to do before they tell us what they are already doing."
Oh, so good. And I want to piggyback on that because I think that you said we react to our emotions based on our beliefs.
Yes.
What I realized is it went all the way back to my belief about who God is.
Ooh.
I was afraid to express my emotions, afraid to take my emotions to Him because I thought it displeased Him.
Oh, wow.
And that's not true. I love this Psalm 62:8. It says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." Oh, I love it so much. And I realized that this is the last few years, that a lot of these things are trust issues with God.
Yeah.
And trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts to Him, for He's your refuge. I didn't see Him as my refuge. I saw Him as somebody, again, I had to perform for. So if we can feel the feelings, just like you just said, and then surrender them, it's a two-step deal.
Well, you know, and one of the things I was thinking back to when I was a kid, we used to go to the beach a lot in Southern California, and I took swimming lessons, so I was a strong swimmer. I wasn't afraid of the water, but I was afraid of the waves. And I kept trying to go out to the deeper water beyond the breakers where my dad and my brother were. I had this approach to the waves where I would be almost brave, and then I would chicken out at the last minute, and they would tumble over me, and I'd go into the water, and I'd choke and think I was drowning. And so I got even more and more scared. And I kind of feel like emotion, I always call it the emotion ocean, because emotions come over me in waves, and I can't stop the actual wave. But I've learned that I can approach the emotion ocean wave much the way my dad taught me to actually approach the real ocean waves. And what he taught me to do was to get as close as possible, and then as that wave started to crest and really rise up above me, to dive straight into the base of it. Now, that seems counterintuitive, and at first it was really scary, but I still remember the first time I did that, and I dove in. There's no turbulence there. You dive in, you come up on the other side, and you've missed all of that being scrambled up and feeling like you've been put through a blender. And so I've found that I have certain things I can do. I won't spend a lot of time here. We can put it up on the website for this episode. But I have certain steps I can take that are kind of the equivalent of diving into the base of an emotion ocean wave, so that I'm not ignoring it, I'm not running from it, but I'm also not wallowing and getting all mixed up in it and drowning in it and basically being victimized by it.
Yes, so good. One of our interns wrote something. We have our interns giving us ideas for these episodes now. But she wrote this: "One year as I was decorating the tree, I pondered that I always get so depressed and thinking about bad childhood memories. Somehow it hit me that many of the decorations I have were from my childhood. And although they bring back some fond memories, they put me back in that growing up household, which is someplace I'd truly rather not be. It was too late that that year, but I wondered what would happen if I packed away the offending decorations separately. The following year, I didn't even open that box, and things were amazingly different. By the next year, I had donated them to Goodwill.
Woohoo!
It's that great pattern. She recognized where the emotion was coming from. She processed it, I'm assuming with God, because this is a godly woman. Mm. And then she dove into the base of the wave and she took an action step to change her own emotions. I just thought, what a healthy, amazing way to process all that.
Well, and I think it takes grit to face that kind of thing. And rather than just stay in the pattern or the habit of, oh, we've always done it this way, thus we always have to do it this way. And to recognize that sometimes we need to sit back and evaluate. Sometimes in advance, sometimes maybe after the fact, we'll be doing a wrapping up episode for our holiday break. But as much as possible now to kind of be looking ahead and thinking, okay, are there clothes I need to not wear this year? Are there recipes I could not fix this year? Are there events we could not go to this year? Ornaments we could not put on the tree? To recognize what our triggers are. I have a bad habit of thinking it's the people that trigger me. It's not the people themselves. It's the tone of voice, or it's the smell of someone's perfume, or it's that particular dish of food. It's never the actual person. But boy, it is so easy for me to blame other people and say, you made me fill in the blank. You made me mad. You made me sad. No, it's not their fault. They were there when it happened.
Sure.
But something else is happening within me that's triggering those emotions. And learning to take responsibility for that, that also takes grit.
Sure. I agree with that. And for me, I have realized it takes grit to overcome my wrong beliefs about God, that He would judge me for my emotions instead of helping me with my emotions. And it takes grit to take that step of faith and take those things to God. The beautiful thing about that is that, like with anything else, when we take that step of faith and we get a positive outcome, it builds our faith.
Yes.
It builds our trust. Next time, we're more likely to run to God with those things. So, but sometimes it takes that fake it till you make it mentality. And to take that first step, it takes that grit.
Absolutely. Well, and next week we'll talk more about others' emotions, but I'll tell you the grace part for me when I'm learning, as I'm learning, not when, it's not in the past, it's as I'm still learning to embrace my own emotions and surrender them, is to allow others to have their emotions just the way I want to give myself permission, because frankly, I still would rather be the only person in the room with that kind of permission. Because other people's emotions are just too messy. They bump up against mine and mess with me too much. So I'm like, I'm still kind of at that stage where it's like, oh no, I want all the privilege, but I don't want you to have the privileges because they mess with mine. So that's where the grace piece comes in. And like I
said,
we'll talk more about that next week.
Yes.
Let's go back to the Matthew 11 scripture. I'll go ahead and read it for us. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's Matthew 11, 28-30 from the Message.
Mm. As I reread that this morning, I realized that there are a lot of emotions wrapped up in tired, worn out, burned out. And Jesus addresses that in this passage, and he addresses it with such kindness and tenderness. He really reveals his heart towards us, and our bundle of emotion is part of us.
Yeah.
And I think we should take that as a signal that it's okay to take care of ourselves. That yes, scripture talks about selflessness and making it about others. I actually thought about our emphasis on joy, and people have probably heard that acronym, that joy can be an acronym for Jesus, others, yourself.
Yes.
But I think that perfectionists, people pleasers, and HSPs, often we don't have joy, we have Joe. Jesus
so
and
true.
Others.
So true. Oh, that's stellar.
We totally leave ourselves out of it. And it really is sort of a form of self-abuse that we decide that we're not worth even addressing when Jesus never treats us that way.
Oh, oh, my goodness, this is so good. I can hardly talk. Okay, so you have, oh my word, Amy, oh, we need to do this more often. Do you want to do a daily podcast?
That was after my third cup of coffee this morning.
You need more coffee, girl. So you had a great truth that we can focus on to replace the bad rule that peace and joy are the only acceptable emotions for you to feel. What was that?
Feel, but surrender every emotion. So we feel it. And then we surrender it. I'm a big organization person. One of the rules that I really love is only touch a piece of paper once. Mm. So we pick it up, we decide what to do with it, mm-hmm. we put it in the trash can, we put it in the recycling bin, or we file it, mm-hmm. but we don't touch it twice. Now, our emotions are not that manageable. It'd be nice to say, well,
I was going to say, if yours are, you need to write a new book.
No, but I think we could say, I'm going to touch that once today, mm-hmm. today, mm-hmm. right? So you give yourself some time to feel it, mm-hmm. give yourself some time to surrender it mm-hmm. to Jesus, mm-hmm. and then you move forward with your day. And then when it comes up again, mm-hmm. you say, okay, I'm going to touch this once, but mm-hmm. we don't touch it, hold it, feel it, hold it to our heart.
Feed yeah. it, let yeah. it sleep with us. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. If you are an HSP, a highly sensitive person, let me share with you a quote that gives me so much comfort. It goes like this. You will never, ever hear God say that you are more trouble than you're worth. If you head on over to the webpage for today's episode at gritandgrace.info, you'll find several free downloadables, including this week's permission slip. Print it out and put it somewhere as a reminder that you don't have to obey the bad rule that says peace and joy are the only acceptable emotions for you to feel. Instead, you can receive permission to feel and surrender every emotion. We hope you've enjoyed episode number 25 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Join Amy and me for next week's holiday break, when we'll be talking about responding to other people's emotions during the holidays. For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.